You're listening to All Marine Radio, broadcasting from Costa Mesa, California, on the All Warrior Radio Network. Wednesday morning to you, the 22nd day of April. That's right. Morning comes and you know that you wanna stay. On this date in 2004, Pat Tillman was killed. I have a calendar that says today in history. And then the Army proceeded to try to not to tell the truth about how he died and turned into an unbelievably stupid fiasco. So, yeah, on that note, good morning to you. I'm wondering where all the stories are about life, about people who aren't getting paid. And I'm seeing stories, all kinds of human interest stories about what's going on in our emergency rooms. What's going on in ICU wards, not only in our country, but around the world. I see stories about the second part two of, the aid package for the nation to small businesses. See that. But I don't see a whole lot being written about the people, 22 million filed for unemployment. I don't see that story being covered a whole lot. Maybe it's just me. I'm not watching the right local news or whatever. But I'm not seeing that. And so I'm curious. Is all this aid getting to who it needs to get to and nobody's hurting? Are we just not reporting that story well? Is it not sexy enough? So, I don't know, that got into my head yesterday. So, where are the stories about people, right? I mean, the statistics about living paycheck to paycheck are what they are, right? We've been watching this thing for how long? A month? Going on 5 weeks? That's at least two paychecks. Okay, now what? So, anyway, I'm curious about that. 22 million people filing for unemployment. Right, and so how many people are underneath those people that depend on those people, you know? So what does that do to that number? Double it? Triple it? So anyway, just a thought. Also in the news today, Iran launches a satellite. And the satellite might not be the big news in that, right? So what they're putting up there, which the United States is still attempting to determine what it is. And then, but the fact that they could launch something, Iran in space, that means they can shoot things into space, which is a vehicle for their nuclear program. My own opinion is this: the Iranian governing regime is in a difficult way. And whatever they can do, from harassing the United States Navy to launching satellites, whatever they can do to create a shining object to take the nation's focus off internal affairs, is something that they would say, yeah, we should do that, and we should do it yesterday. So anyway, I'm not surprised. The launch certainly has implications. So the nuclear program coupled with the launch, all right, you can put those pieces together and you can see they're on the same road that North Korea is. Speaking of North Korea, no additional update on that dude. Yeah, no additional update on that dude. So the world waits to find out where the hell is Kim Jong-un and what happens. Another story, and we'll, and this one bothers me. The United States Marine Corps, I would say, under pressure from the media, has canceled running its physical fitness test this year. The Marine Corps is nixing, this is some Stars and Stripes, the Marine Corps is nixing its physical fitness test requirements for the first half of the year due to coronavirus prevention guidelines. The Commandant of the Marine Corps, David Berger, announced the change in a tweet yesterday. Quote, our fitness to fight remains a priority, and I expect each of us to continue to maintain our fighting condition. The service has directed Marines to practice social distancing. That is, maintain a minimum of 6 feet between individuals to the maximum extent possible to prevent the virus's spread. So, the Marine Corps PFT includes a 3-mile run, push-ups or pull-ups. Now, I think the default is pull-ups, and you can do push-ups in lieu of pull-ups, but I think that you only get 70, if you max push-ups, you only get 75%. Crunches or plank pose. The article goes on. If a Marine chooses to perform crunches, a fellow Marine is needed to hold his or her feet during the exercise. So here's what I don't understand. Right? And this is during a period of crisis. We preach improvise, adapt, and overcome in all phases of your life. And now things get difficult, and what do? We say, yeah, that's too hard for us to figure the fuck out. And so you're not living the things that you espouse. Somebody can't figure out a way, right, to execute the PFT. And to be honest with you, I would tell you that crunches, planks, or whatever the fuck you want to do are probably the least significant components of the test. Okay? Far more important is the run and your upper body strength measured by pull-ups normally or push-ups. So, instead of canceling it, why didn't the Commandant just say, okay, in light of the coronavirus social distancing, what we're going to do is have units, right, in small groups, they'll do pull-ups or push-ups. And so we'll social distance and we'll count. 1, 2, we can do that. Okay? Then what we'll do is we'll start, and runners will get started, and they'll be 100 meters apart. Or whatever distance floats your boat, okay? If you want them to be 5 minutes apart so nobody can ever, see anybody, then, or if you're going to pass somebody, right, stay 6 feet to their right, Okay. So all you slugs, stay to the left on the trail. The fast people are gonna pass you on your right. So just know that. And we will continue to run our physical fitness test. It will count 100% and blah, 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 blah. And here's what we're going to do. We're for crunches and all the rest of that. We're just going to give everybody 100 points on that. Okay. So we're not going to penalize anybody because I can already hear the bitching. Well, I suck at the run, but I'm great at crunches. And that's how I make it up. Okay, we're going to give everybody 100 points. So you're going to start with 100 points. So you people that suck on the PFT and suck at crunches, congratulations. You just got a bonus. But we're not going to penalize anybody. So you're going to start with 100, and then we'll do upper body. But we are going to improvise. We are going to adapt, and we are going to overcome this stuff because it's what we have to do in the real world. And so we're not just going to say, yeah, it's too hard for us. We can't do it, so we're not going to do it. I mean, to me, it's a horrible message to send to a force. That somehow or other you did that with, you know, local commanders can say, yeah, we can still get haircuts, you know, which I applaud. Yeah, I applaud that. Because, look, just because you're under duress doesn't mean these requirements go away in an organization like the Marine Corps. And so if you cannot do the physical fitness test, what else don't you have to do? Why don't we just send everybody fucking home till this thing blows over and then we'll bring everybody back? Well, Mac, don't be stupid. The nation needs us. Well, then stop acting like you're civilians. We teach, you know, what is the ballywick of the non-commissioned officer? Improvise, adapt, and overcome. You're at that level where the rubber meets the road. Make it fucking work, okay? Make it work. That's what we live. And again, to me, what the Marine Corps responds to is the howling that comes from, you know, the media. Oh, if you do this, oh, you know, fuck them. Figure it the fuck out, man. I don't know. To me, I just, very disappointing in reading that yesterday. That we can't find a way to social distance and take the physical fitness test. So let me ask you this. Does that mean Marines aren't PTing? How are Marines staying in shape? Well, you know, we do a pretty decent job in recruit training. And we don't take everybody to the gym. We do stupid fitness, right? Push-ups till you can't do them anymore. Right? Pull-ups till you can't do them anymore. Running, you know, bending thrusts, right? We do all that. And we turn, you know, pudgy, scrawny, skinny, fat, you know, human beings into United States Marines. And that's how we do it. We don't take them to the gym. We take them to the pull-up bar. And that's how they learn to have PTSD whenever they look at a pull-up bar. Oh, that son of a bitch. Exactly. Or, you know, we go running with a log on our shoulder, right? You learn to do it with a load, with other people, all right? So fitness, can we not learn to spread out a little bit and do it? I bet you Marines are doing it all over the Marine Corps. Very disappointing. Very disappointing in that we espouse this philosophy. And this is one of the things I used to tell my Marines, no matter where you are. I don't care if it's dealing with the coronavirus. What you're dealing with is a crisis. And a crisis is an opportunity for leaders to earn their money. That's when you go to work as a leader. And this says, yeah, we're going to take a timeout on something that's absolutely fundamental to our culture and our discipline and who we are. Look, if you're going to do this, then why do the haircut thing? To me, there's certain core things that you believe in. Now, if I'm a local commander and I look at my docs and I say, look, if the guy masks up and he and the barber, and the barber's gloved up, and the guy getting the haircut, he's masked up. Can we safely give haircuts? What is their answer? Well, I think their answer is, yeah, we can do that. Okay, then we'll do that. So I look at my Force Fitness pros. In what form can we run the PFT? Well, obviously the sit-ups are a problem. Okay, how about the other events? They're not a problem. Okay, so we're going to run at least two of the three events, and what do we do with the last event? Is there a form that we can do it? Well, we could have everybody do planks. Oh, well, why don't we do that? We just won't do crunches. Everybody's going to do a plank. Or we can just give everybody 100 points and skip it. But we're going to run the PFT because we're Marines. We operate under duress. This is a core function. Fitness. That's right. So what is the message I'm sending? The message I'm sending is I expect you to stay fit. Yeah, all you fat asses out there. I expect everybody to stay fit. I expect everybody to PT. I expect us to be ready as a 9/11 force for the nation. That's the message. Oh, yeah, we're not going to test. Yeah. So, anyway, I wasn't happy when I saw that yesterday. It's just rolling over, right? Rolling over and playing dead. I just don't like it. So, anyway, good morning to you. The part two of a series of interviews with Daryl Horn, who's a Bravo 19 Marine, and during Operation Buffalo at Contien. You're going to hear part two today, and the part one is Daryl's story, right? How he got to the Marine Corps, and it's he's pretty humorous about it. He didn't dream of joining the Marine Corps, never actually thought about being a Marine or anything like that. He gets selected at the MEP station in. He gets selected at the MEP station, probably in Little Rock, someplace in Arkansas, and they come in. They say, "Okay, we need five of you to be Marines." Right? Nobody's hand goes up, and they said, "He says I was the first one they pointed to. You come with us." So he's 23 years old. He's married, right? And he's being drafted. And he said, the Marine Corps doesn't like any of that about me. And they let me know, too. So anyway, you're going to hear part two. So part one is his story, how he gets into the Marine Corps. The Marine Corps kind of joins him. He doesn't really join it. And, the process of recruit training and then go into Okinawa and then to Vietnam and then of joining 1st Battalion, 9th Marines, Bravo Company 19. And what all that was like during the Vietnam War, much different than it is now, the way you would join a unit. And so, so that's part one. Part two is, and then life at Contien is in part one too. And again, this is all under the guise of what it's like to fight a peer. You know, much discussion about that. And again, one of the things that, after doing these interviews, I think, so you want to take on the Chinese and the Navy can't even figure out how to take care of an aircraft carrier with a bunch of sick sailors on it? How is the thing against the Chinese going to go? If you can't figure out that shit, that's easy compared to the problems you're going to have if you ever fought a peer. So those things are in my head. You can't figure out how to take a physical fitness test and maintain distance. Good luck. Good luck against the Chinese. So anyway, that pops into my head. So in part two, now that kind of that foundation has been laid, if you haven't listened to part one, listen to it and then listen to part two. Daryl talks about the events on July 2nd, 1967, when Bravo Company heads up a highway, which is a wide dirt road. in Vietnam, and to an intersection known as the Marketplace. Unbeknownst to them, you know, estimates vary between the size of the force that they ran into, but, you know, maybe 3 or 4 North Vietnamese Army battalions, a battalion was 500, were ringed in kind of a C shape, not a horseshoe, probably, you know, too severe, but kind of a C shape. And the C started at their front, and then it went wide to the right. The left is open rice fields. The right is not open rice fields. Well, it might have been rice fields. The right is vegetation and trees and stuff like that. So that would be the long part of the C. And so they walk into the top of the C. And then Bravo Company, I think the numbers are 65 killed in action, 55 wounded in action. And then there's 27 Marines left. And Daryl said that all of them wounded, but they could stay, and they did. At the end of that, I might have the KIA and the wounded in action numbers flip-flopped. Anyway, that's what kind of, you know, day it was for them. So he walks us through that day. So you'll hear that at the top of the hour. So good morning to you. The United States Marine Corps Band makes this morning official. This is dedicated to today's our two guests, Daryl Horn. His graciousness, his good nature, and he's written a book, and that you ought to take a look at. And his book is called "Blood, Sweat, and Honor: Memoirs of a Walking Dead Marine in Vietnam." You can find that on Amazon Books, Google Books, whatever you care to. So. No, he's just a wonderful guy, and he's been a pleasure to get to know. And just know this, that this stuff is not easy for him to go through and talk about, and gracious enough to do that. So this is dedicated to Daryl Horn and his wife Marilyn, who I've met. So just wonderful people, and extremely proud to have them on All Marine Radio. We have
You're betraying your whole life if you don't say what you think, and you don't say it honestly and bluntly.
When the danger is perceptible and the cost of acting are low, the failure to act guarantees that the threat will grow and the ultimate cost will be higher. Every day that goes by makes North Korea a more dangerous country. You don't like their behavior today? What do you think it'll be when they have nuclear weapons that can be delivered to American cities? Do you want to wait till then to act, or do you want to act now?
We just have to execute. And we are executing every day, and Sergeant Major and I are very proud of what you do. Doesn't mean we can't get better. We don't want to make a mistake to learn. We don't want to lose to learn. We cannot lose if we have to go fight. We got to do what these Marines did here 75 years ago. Persevere against difficult, challenging conditions and odds and win. You got to win.
Time to check the weather in Marineland. I'm still struggling with the whole PFT thing. Your core, my core, soft core, Marine Corps? Too hard to take the PFT before? Again, it's got to be done before June 30th. It's April 20th. Yeah, Mac, but there's some people that deploy in their operation. Then exempt them. I'm okay with exempting them. But don't exempt the entire force, for God's sakes. I don't know. I think institutionally, you just sent a horrible message to the force. That some things are really, really too difficult for us to adapt and overcome. Yeah. We did it with haircuts, but we can't do it with the PFT. All right. Got it, boss. Sunny and 53 right now in Quantico. Sunny and 62 at Camp Lejeune. Sunny and 68, 29 Palms. Sunny and 61 at Camp Pendleton. So everywhere in CONUS is sunny. Not sure that's ever happened. How exciting. OCONUS, Hawaii, outside CONUS. Dark cloudy in 65. Just for the record, I think Joe Biden's going to have a really tough time. First of all, you know, when he gets going and he doesn't have his handlers near him and they can't, you know, I mean, he's a gaffe machine, right? But the problem with running when you have a record like that, that you have to defend, which was Barack Obama's gift, right? When he ran and whenever he ran, 2010? When was that election? 2010. Was it he didn't have much of a record. He could say anything. It was about policies. It was about issues. It wasn't about him. Well, Joe Biden. Oh, my God. Anyway. I don't know why that just came into my head. In Okinawa, at Camp Butler, dark cloudy in 62. Lashkar Gah. Early in the evening, cloudy and 71 in Ramadi, mostly sunny and 91 in the Al-Anbar province. Currently, at the home of All Marine Radio, Costa Mesa, Newport Beach area of Southern California, it is 61 degrees. The wind chill sits at 61. Looking for a high of 70, 77 today. Kaboosh! Tomorrow, 79, and then Friday, 86 degrees. Wow, if it's 86 here near the coast, going to get to 100 inland. Yeah. So that is a look at your weather. When we come back, we'll look at more news. More of All Marine Radio coming up next right here on your home for it, the All Warrior Radio Network.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of the 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Matt, Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner is looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So, a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when a grunt can understand it. Good job, Mac.
I appreciate that there, Nielsen. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs at allmarineradio.com. And I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs@allmarineradio.com. Let's do it.
We all have the ability to touch the lives of those around us. Moms, dads, neighbors, teachers, friends. These are the people who are always there to listen when we need to talk. Though their actions may not always be monumental, they are always felt. To someone going through a difficult time, a text, a call, or a visit can mean so much. Reach out to the veterans in your life today. Let them know they're not alone. One simple act can make all the difference. That's the power of one. If you're a veteran in crisis or know one who is, visit VeteransCrisisLine.net for free 24/7 confidential support or call 1-800-273-8255 and press 1.
I'm good, but I have a story and I don't know where to start.
I'm good, but I feel alone in a crowd.
I'm good, but the past keeps coming back.
When the service member or veteran in your life says,
I'm good.
Are you really listening?
I'm good, but I can't get out of bed.
I'm good, but I can't sleep.
I'm good, but I feel overwhelmed.
I'm good, but I don't feel safe.
I'm good, but I still have nightmares.
I'm good, but I don't need any help.
I'm good, but I don't feel anything anymore.
I'm good, but I can't live like this anymore.
I'm really not so good. Are you ready to listen?
Suicide prevention is everyone's responsibility. Listen to the veteran or service member in your life. If you are in crisis or know someone who is, call the Veterans Crisis Line and Military Crisis Line at 1-800-273-8255 and press 1 for free 24/7 confidential support.
Hi, I'm Colleen McNamara, and you're listening to My Dad on All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
Jeff Kenny started watch, had never watched the Ken Burns, Lynn Novick series, The Vietnam War. So he started watching it. So I thought, you know what, I should watch it again because, you know, you see different things when you watch something a second time because you've learned more and your knowledge base has changed, so And actually, I'm looking for it right now, but it was right. It's right at the start of the whole 10 parts where Max Cleland comes on. Now, if you don't know who Max Cleland is, then first of all, shame on you. You should look him up. Pretty important, you know, pretty important figure. Joseph Maxwell Cleland, C-L-E-L-A-N-D, not Cleveland, Cleland. An American politician from the state of Georgia, a disabled U.S. Army veteran of the Vietnam War, the recipient of the Silver Star and the Bronze Star for valor in combat, and a former United States Senator, 77 years old now. Anyway, so I just found the part. Let me see if I can execute this from my cell phone. So they kind of do the it's about, I don't know how many minutes. They're showing the Vietnam Wall in the first episode. So here it is. Wait a minute. Oh, it's because I got my Bluetooth on. Give me a second to turn it off.
Oh, where have you been, my blue-eyed son?
So the shot is of the Vietnam Wall in D.C. Obviously,
Victor Bob Dole, who survived the death camps in World War II, wrote a.
Okay, now I'll shut up and listen to what Cleland says.
And where have you been, my darling young one?
Victor Frankl, who survived the death camps in World War II, wrote a book called Man's Search for Meaning. You know, to live is to suffer. To survive is to find meaning in suffering. And for those of us who suffered because of Vietnam, that's been our quest ever since.
So now this came out in September of 2017. Okay. The timeline on post-traumatic winning, post-traumatic winning blossoms in the spring of 2018. So the first time I saw this, I didn't know who Viktor Frankl was. So I start watching this, and within the first 5 minutes, I fall off the couch. As Cleland says, Viktor Frankl, Man's Search for Meaning. I'm like, holy shit. And then I kind of got pissed. I've got to tell you something else that happened to me. Yeah. Anyway, and well, at some point we'll get to the news, but so I'm as soon as I'm watching it, I'm blown away by that. And then my thought turns to, why the fuck hasn't any behavioral health person connected the dots and says that Frankl speaks to people that have suffered, right? Especially people that are prone to service, right? And finding meaning, right? Who might that be? You know, people that serve in the military, first responders, maybe? Shit, man. Why have they so missed the boat? Which is probably an interesting question. Why don't they see that? Why are they blind to how powerful that is? Why are they blind to Frankl's power and how he speaks to us? Maybe it's something in their own background. Maybe because they don't serve, and so they don't see that. Interesting. So, I mean, that was the first thing that jumped out at me. I'm also, another thing that I'm scarred by, and I saw it again. At some point, Carl Marlantis comes on, who's been on the show, and he talks about what he can forgive and what he can't forgive. And he said, you know, I can forgive a policy error which sent us in the direction of Vietnam. Right? And so he then says, but here's what I can't forgive. I can't forgive that they knew there was no way to win, and yet they didn't have the moral courage to stand up and say that and leave. And here, to me, what's scarring about that is you see his jaw, right? When he's saying that, you can see his jaw quivering. He doesn't get his face. He doesn't shed a tear. You can just see his jaw quivering. And you see how, you know, deeply, right, that impacts. The other thing I'm struck by is, you know, you hear John Kennedy saying, you know, can we win this? And then it comes up in the conversations between LBJ after Kennedy's assassinated and Secretary of Defense Robert McNamara on a regular basis. With the president saying, I don't see it. And he's talking to a senator and they're talking about how the hell do you get out of it? Right? How do you get out of it? And that's all before 1965 ends. I mean, so you're not even talking about being close to the peak of Vietnam when there's 500,000 Americans in Vietnam. You're not even close to that. So that's a few things that to me are stunning. The other thing it's made me think of is, you know, counterinsurgency is a bad business. It doesn't win very often. And so I started looking at successful counterinsurgencies. And you know, Jeff Kenney's fond of saying, you know, when people say, oh, you can't kill your way out of this. Right? You can't kill your way. And Jeff's like, the hell you can't. So anytime you look at, you know, successful counterinsurgencies in the past, they always had, I'll call it a coercive element to it, right? There was always, you know, a component of killing your way out of it. So I to me, counterinsurgency is a bad business. That's an internal political issue. And if you want to layer yourself into it, as we've done in Vietnam, as we've done in Afghanistan, as we've done, as we created in Iraq, I mean, that's a loser. If you can't tell, right, it's a loser. So how do you do that well? You know, to me, if you're going to have a role in it, you know, you have a Green Beret role in it where you train and assist. You don't get involved in it militarily unless you want to be there forever. And that, I mean, somehow or other, we can't seem to learn that lesson. So anyway, we'll talk about that a little bit tomorrow. I'm going to finish hopefully watching it today, and I think Jeff will as well. And so so again, I think one of the things you see is, you know, trying to treat Vietnam in 18 hours, right? All the different perspective. The North Vietnamese perspective, the South Vietnamese perspective, and the American perspective. The war, the politics, right? So the combat, right? The politics of it, and then the way it affected society in all three of those. I mean, that's pretty, and you're going to do it, and you're going to start, you know, in the 50s, and you're going to go till the end of the war. So even in 18 hours, it's just pretty difficult thing to treat. So anyway, so we're watching that, and we'll talk about it tomorrow a little bit. I get an email, and I won't give you the gentleman's name, but I told the story that in January I went to North Carolina to do post-traumatic wing for the 2nd Marine Air Wing. So so I'm doing my thing, right? Doing it in the morning, doing it in the afternoon. And then, you know, a lot of times there'll be an evening event for spouses or people that can't somehow or other, you know, make it during the day. So I'm doing it at the Cherry Point O Club. and or now it's just the club, All Ranks Club now, right? So I do it, and as I'm packing my trash up after I, you know, so it ends, and there's always people that want to talk, which is one of the things I love about it, because it's blue-collar mental health, right? It speaks directly to people, and it's powerful and moving. So anyway, so then I'm talking to people. So, and then after that, I go over to pack my laptop and all the things I use, you know, and get out of my backpack. But as I'm looking, there's something on top of my computer, and I'm looking, I'm like, what is that? Well, it's the silver bracelet with Captain James Stockdale's data on it. Right. And it's a beautiful bracelet. It's not, you know, it's not made out of aluminum. Okay. So anyway, I've told a story, but so I look at it, and the only way the person that could have brought this would have done so was that they came during the day and they came back a second time and they didn't even come up to talk to me. They just left this for me. No note, nothing, because they wanted me to have that. And I can't tell you how deeply, you know, that touched me. That somebody would think enough, you know, that they would want me to have this because they were so moved by what they saw. Well, I got an email yesterday. I think yesterday. Yesterday from the person who left it. And he said to me, "Hey, Mac, let me introduce myself." Tells me who he is. Tells me they left the bracelet. He said, "And I really could use your help with somebody." I said, "Look, I will do whatever I can do. I'd be more than happy to do." And so he said, "Okay." And I said, "But first, let me just tell you something." And I told him essentially what I just said. And he said, "Well, Admiral Stockdale commissioned me." You know, and he told me the story of how they had crossed paths. And then he said, you know, when I thought about it, he said, I thought, what the hell do I have to lose? And so he asked him, and he said he would. And he said, so I sat and I watched your thing. And he said, I thought it was fantastic. And he said, I wanted you to have it. So I went home and then I came back. So anyway, but essentially looking for help with somebody who's struggling. And so hopefully we're going to make a difference in somebody's life. So very, very cool stuff. Very, very cool stuff. So let me get to the news today. All right. 9 USS Theodore Roosevelt sailors are in the hospital as the ship of 5,000 surpasses 700 cases. Now, a lot of people are pointing to this, to the Roosevelt, as like an incubator for this, right? And if you haven't followed the story and you haven't listened here, it is now believed that it did not come from Vietnam with their port visit there. It came from the air wing and crew members that fly off the ship and then fly, and they fly what used to be called an E-2C. It's now something else. Might be an Osprey that does it now. I'm not exactly sure. And they fly mail, they fly people off the ship on a regular basis, almost on a daily basis. You know, you have what's called a COD, C-O-D. I can't remember what it stands for. And they fly the mail when you're, you know, in the middle of the Pacific. They fly it to the closest island, Guam, Hawaii. You know, when you're a couple days out of San Diego, you know, or port, they fly it back to your port. They go, there's people that missed the ship or didn't report till 2 days after the ship left because they're new. They get on the plane, they come out. So, I mean, that's business, right? That's how the virus is believed to have been brought back to the ship. So, but people looking at this as like this perfect insulated, you know, population that they can study more. None of the sailors, none of the nine, are in the intensive care unit that are currently hospitalized. As of Tuesday, 94% of the Roosevelt's crew had been tested for the virus as the ship nears a month since it docked in Guam. 710 sailors have tested positive. 42 sailors now recovered from the virus, according to the Navy. About 3,872 crew members have received negative test results. So, and then not to overlook the one fatality they have. So anyway, that's in the news today. We already talked about the Marine Corps canceling its physical fitness test. Honestly, man, that to me is just such a terrible message for the force. We can't figure this the fuck out. Ugh. President said the USNS Comfort could leave New York City very soon. Right? The Navy has secured enough COVID-19 tests for the Nimitz strike group ahead of its deployment. So you got that going for you. And China issues a muted response to U.S. warships in the South China Sea, which is the USS America. China's downplaying the presence of warships in the South China Sea. Blah, 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 blah. So anyway, the war of words, it continues. Headlines in the Marine Corps Times. The Marine Corps has halved the number, H-A-L-V-E-D, halved the number of recruits shipping to boot camp and wants them to self-isolate for 14 days. So I think the Navy just announced that they had resumed shipping to Great Lakes. The Marine Corps has cut the number of recruits it is shipping to its two recruit training depots in half while asking recruits to self-isolate for 14 days before arriving. The latest changes to Marine Corps recruit training in the wake of COVID-19 pandemic. Marine Corps officials confirmed to Marine Corps Times that Parris Island Depot has resumed taking incoming recruits. They had temporarily halted either late in March or early in April. Quote, "It's an imperative to preserve the training pipeline to make sure that we can get all these recruits through without any illness," said a spokesman for the medical and public health United States Marine Corps by the name of Captain Michael Termini. I'm looking for more quotes. "For the time being, shipping numbers have been cut in half," Colonel Matthew J. Palma, commanding officer, Recruit Training Regiment, San Diego, said in a video. "This is not business as usual." The commandant weighed in. "We're experiencing challenging and unprecedented times. There are things we simply must continue to do," said the sergeant major of the Marine Corps. But not taking the PFT. Again, this is all social media stuff. Here's another one. Congressman asked commandant to relax grooming standards. A Maryland congressman sent a letter to a top Marine Tuesday to the top Marine. Representative Jamie Gaskin, Democrat from Maryland, urged the commandant to consider temporarily relaxing grooming standards. Raskin said the haircut policy has been raised with his office by a number of concerned Marine families. Just send everybody home, man. Just send everybody home. This is all too hard. Right? Why would the American military be any different than your basic civilian living their life? Exactly. There's no reason for that. So we won't take the PFT. We won't get haircuts. Right? None of it. Here's a story in Marine Corps Times about the PFT. Less than 24 hours after the Marine Corps said there would be no Corps-wide suspension of the physical fitness test, the top Marine announced the semi-annual fitness test for the current period was canceled. What? Yeah. On Monday afternoon, the Marine Corps said the situation regarding the PFT was fluid, but a decision had not been made to suspend the PFT Corps-wide. About who? Yeah. Unbelievable. We can't find a way to do that. A couple other interesting stories in the news. Just breaking news. A couple of stories. One is American sources following the satellite that was launched say it is non-functioning, meaning that they think it's screwed up. So that's in the news right now. So breaking news. Here's the VA. This story from the Associated Press. More deaths, no benefit from malaria drug in VA virus study. A malaria drug widely touted by President Donald Trump for treating new coronavirus showed no benefit in a large analysis of its use at U.S. Veterans Hospital. There were more deaths among those given hydroxychloroquine versus standard care, researchers reported. The nationwide study was not a rigorous experiment, but with 368 patients. So, again, providing fuel. Now, that flies in the face of people that you've seen that have taken it, right? That have taken the drug and said, yeah, it saved my life. Text message. No PFD is a dope move, and dope can be used as a it's dope, which means it's cool. For those of you that are really hip out there, right? It can also be moronic. So let me restate this in the way that it was meant to. So just so nobody's confused. All right, no PFD is a moronic move. It's not hard. It's an NCO-level task. Staff NCO supervised. Come on, bro. Exactly. Right? But again, here's my problem with it. We live in this world of and he's just chiming back in. Not dope meaning good, because he uses dope when it means good, too. So hence the possibility of confusion. But here we live by this improvise, adapt, and overcome. And what you have is this laboratory to allow Marines to and kind of nurture them and say, hey, look, this is just another crisis, man. You're going to be faced with bigger crises than this if you stay in the Marine Corps for any period of time. Let us show you how. We'll show you how to do it. All right? We'll show you how to do it. Yeah. Improvise, adapt, and overcome. And we talked about it. So, yeah, honestly, it sends a horrible message to the organizations. Let's just send everybody home, man. It's too hard. Here's another news headline today. Trump tweets that he's instructed the Navy to destroy any Iranian gunboats that harass U.S. warships. And let me just tell you, that's what they want. right? Much like they shot at the Saudi oil production facilities because they wanted a response. They are choking on it inside their country. The most deadly thing that you could do is not give it to them. And so if you watch the videos of these speedboats, right, that in the Persian Gulf, if you notice, right, every one of them, look at the weapon on the speedboats. It's normally mounted on the bow. That would mean towards the pointy end for all you landlocked people, okay? And it's normally a pedestal mounted, so it's got, you know, some kind of pedestal sticking out of the deck of the boat. And if you notice the weapons in the videos, the weapons are always pointed, right, away from the American warship, okay? Always. They're pointed towards the sky. They're pointed away. Okay? And so they're very, very deliberate, right, in making sure that, you know, and they're in there. They're cruising around in your basic, you know, basic, you know, boat that's going to pull water skiers, a heavy-duty version of that, an ocean-going version of that. But it's not to be confused with a warship, for God's sakes. And so the president, you know, the last thing we need is to give Iran what it wants, which is an enemy. The great Satan, once again, misbehaving. Now, if you look at pictures of the boats, I mean, do they come close? Absolutely. So to me, right, and this has been going on for a while, the instructions should be relative to the Navy that if these guys close with you and they have a weapon pointed at you, then sink their ass. And that has been, I believe, the game that the Iranians play, which is we, you know, it's like an intercept for an aircraft. Then you've seen the Russians doing this, right? The act of war is if you power on your weapons radar, right, which, you know, they our plane, our P-8s now, have sensors that say he's just locked onto you. That means he's going to shoot. So you can fly what's called nose cold, all your stuff off, and you can buzz them, and that's considered unprofessional. The act of war, though, is when you energize your fire radar and you lock somebody on. And, you know, you start hearing whooping and all kinds of stuff in your cockpit because somebody's locked onto you. So that's the game the Iranians play. And they know it. They've been playing it for years. And so that's how they split the hair. Right? That's how they split the hair. So the president today said, shoot them. Not so much. Take it easy, boys. And it's not like the Navy's really anxious to shoot him anyway, because Navy, a little bit nervous, right? I mean, for God's sakes, they're lucky to get to sea and not run into each other. I mean, I wish it wasn't true, but... And then you just saw the meltdown with the acting Secretary of Navy, right? And again, we still... I mean, what is taking so long for the investigation, you know, into whether, you know, Captain Crozier gets the command back? Well, we don't want to screw it up this time. Got it. All right. Think you'll have it in the next 6 months? Well, we might. We're not sure, though. Okay. Let us know. And here's one more story. Support for a full withdrawal from Afghanistan grows. You think? Good God, what are the American people, idiots? No, let's stay. Nearly three-quarters of veterans surveyed and almost 70% of troops' families support a full withdrawal of U.S. troops from Afghanistan, according to a new poll from a conservative activist group released on Wednesday. The results are an increase from an identical question in last year's poll, Concerned Veterans of America. Yeah, you know, again, I'm curious, and you know, I think when people talk about, you know, successful counterinsurgency operations, in our case, it was unsuccessful nation building that was always a folly to begin with. Except we just didn't have the general officers and policymakers that would say, "Hey, this is stupid," right? I mean, we reenacted Vietnam. I mean, honestly, it's crazy. It's crazy when you watch it. It's crazy when you watch it. So show me a successful counterinsurgency. And people point to Malaysia, the Brits in Malaysia, the Marines in the Philippines in 1895. Well, guess what was going on there? Marines were whacking people at the cyclic rate, man. Yeah, it wasn't like it was a stick, and then we gave them a carrot towards the end. But make no mistake, the dominant feature was the stick. So, anyway, top five stories in Early Bird. One, American troops had only hours to react to hours? What do you mean only hours? American troops had only hours to react to Iranian ballistic missile attack. Here's what they did. The story starts with a quote. "In the end, I said a prayer and asked God to guide my actions and protect my troops." I don't know how I feel about that. I think you've been trained how to act, right? I understand protect the troops part of it. So that was from Lieutenant Colonel Stacy Coleman, commander of the 443rd Air Expeditionary Squadron at Al-Asad in Iraq. Yeah, I've been to Al-Asad a few times. "I resolved to place the fate of my team in his hands, and I focused my attention on executing the plan." That makes me feel a little bit better. U.S. service members stationed on two Iraqi bases at Al-Asad and Erbil had only hours to react to it. How did they know hours before? That's interesting. They had hours notice? "On the evening of January 7th, Coleman said, she got word from Iran that Iran was planning to attack the Al-Asad air base located in the Anbar province of Iraq. Quote, I stood around my desk trying to wrap my mind." I'm sorry. Hold on, let me compose myself. I mean, come on. "I stood around my desk trying to wrap my mind around the reality of the situation that I was actually in a war and I might get shot at. God bless her, man. She quickly worked to develop a plan to evacuate half the 160 people under her command. The other half would remain behind to operate and secure the airfield. Coleman said she believed the remain behind crew would never survive the attack. Flight commanders were tasked with compiling the list of personnel divided between personnel with combat capability and those they believed were emotionally equipped to endure." Oh my God. I shouldn't laugh at this stuff, man. I shouldn't laugh. It's not funny. It's not funny stuff. But flight commanders were tasked with compiling the list of personnel divided between personnel with combat capability and, quote, those they believed were emotionally equipped to endure remaining behind for a possible missile attack. Quote, I was being forced to gamble with my members' lives by something I couldn't control. I was deciding who would live and who would die. I honestly thought anyone remaining behind would perish. As half the team began to depart, the remain behind crew started to pack a bunker with essential supplies to last throughout the night. Coleman said she took a few moments to contact the family to say a final I love you. The first wave of missiles hit and the ground shook with a force impossible to put into words. The blast waves could be felt throughout my entire body, she said. Coleman said she started to believe the unit could survive the strike as long as the bunker didn't take a direct hit. But she was worried that her Air Force security troops outside the bunker and her airfield operations flight house in a separate bunker would be hit. She said poor radio signals inside the bunker because of all the concrete, right? Right. Finally, security force members banged on the door and informed her that there were no casualties. It was a miracle, she said. Oh, man. God bless him, man. You know what? She just experienced what the average corporal experienced in Al Anbar or in Afghanistan when they had to say, all right, man, you're walking point today. Knowing that you're going to go into this shit again. Right? You're going to select who's going to do that shit. So, I'm sorry for, I don't mean to make light of it, but. Number two, lawmakers passed second emergency package to protect student veterans from coronavirus losses. Number three, F-35 deliveries could slow down as COVID-19 jolts Lockheed's supply chain. Number four, top Marine suspends the PFT. Number five, Navy extends isolation of the USS Theodore Roosevelt sailors, may delay the ship's departure. So, when is the ship supposed to depart? The ship docked on March 27th. They thought that it would be a 14-day isolation period. The Navy has now extended it. As of Monday, the Navy had tested 94% of the crew for the virus. 678 positives, 3,904 negatives. 4,069 sailors have been moved ashore and are now spread out between hotels, houses, and facilities on the naval base. So, the Roosevelt is not going anywhere. So, 2 weeks. They're at 3 weeks now, right? And counting. Overseas operation headlines. New military report on civilian casualty allegations in Africa expected in days. And it dealing with civilian casualties with U.S. military airstrikes caused civilian death. Again, another headline, U.S. warships enter the South China Sea. I mean, come on. Oh, hey, we enter the South China Sea. Are you kidding me? And then Sandbox will send your letters to service members overseas free for a month. Do people still write letters? I guess they do. Well, that's interesting. That Sandbox, that's Alex Hollings. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, you're going to hear, honestly, a really incredible interview with Daryl Horn. And he's a 0341 mortarman, trained in 81s, got assigned to 60 mortars with Bravo Company, 1st Battalion, 9th Marines. On July 2nd, 1967, he and the rest of Bravo Company head north, essentially in a movement to contact, knowing that they're going to bump into NDA main force units. And they do. And Bravo Company suffers the heaviest loss of life, I believe, of any Marine unit in Vietnam during the war. And you're going to hear Daryl's story. So don't touch that dial. You'll want to hear this. More of All Marine Radio coming up next right here on your home fort, the All Warrior Radio Network.